worried should we be by what we've seen over the last few months?
Yeah, it's 21 days, really, of pain. 21 days of pain that started back in Murrayfield and then Paris, and now, most disappointing of all, on our home patch, where we haven't lost in the Six Nations since 2012. Eddie Jones hasn't lost at home at all. It's a case of, are we throwing and jettisoning this entire team? Are we getting rid of the entire coaching staff? Or are we looking at some fixables, some issues that have been mitigating circumstances that have meant Ireland have quite rightly run away with the title? Look, I think there's a whole bunch of exhausted players. You can speak to a variety of top-level men like Sir Clive Woodward and Keith Wood, who've always believed that the year after a Lions tour, no international players should tour, never mind the English ones who have to churn out game after game after game in their league competitions. So you could clearly see a lot of those England players just slowly but surely getting closer and closer to the empty sign on the petrol gauge. No lack of effort, but the organisation, the structure, the freshness that is afforded to some of those fantastic Irish players who come back from Lions tours and are heavily rested by their provinces and with it maintain their international pedigree throughout the season. So clearly some players have underperformed. At times others have tried to force it a little bit, but at the heart of it, underpinning most of this, has been a fatigue of the players and both the fixture list, but also Eddie must look closely at his training methods to understand if those are appropriate. I've been fortunate enough to watch it with a lot of the media. They don't do long sessions. I think it's been blown out of proportion in terms of they're out on the pitch all day for hours and running until absolute exhaustion. Yes, it's high intensity, but all these little things add up and mean that when England needed to put their foot down and accelerate and get themselves back into games, which they have done for the previous 2 years, they've just found nothing there.
OK, so all that said, Will, enjoy your cup of tea there. What is top of Eddie Jones' to-do list? He says leadership and breakdown. What do you think?
Look, I genuinely think the most important thing he can do in the first thing is number one of his list is Mara Itoje, Owen Farrell, British Lions boys, go to the beach this summer. They're going to head back now to Saracens, who've got, unbelievably, they've got to go to Dublin. They've got to play Leinster in a European quarter final. We've got the European quarters coming up in a couple of weeks. And these guys have got to go to battle again and then try and win the Premiership. So come back end of May, when the club competitions are over, the best thing he can do is send some of his senior players who have that leadership, who Eddie Jones knows how to, he can rely on under pressure, and allow them just to go to the beach and relax and stick their feet up and spend time with their families, and then introduce some absolute young rock stars into the fray in South Africa, not to be afraid of losing in South Africa, allowing the younger brethren to come through and take on the leadership mantle, potentially win a series in South Africa, and then go again with a full squad once they come back together again in the autumn, where, of course, I mean, they're on a World Cup sort of 21-day campaign. They play 4 days. Japan's in there, New Zealand, South Africa, Australia. The big three are coming to town. I mean, I say the big three now. That was the big three historically, isn't it? The big three now, you have to include Ireland. Well, they were quite brilliant throughout this tournament.
Yeah, let's talk about them then, Will, because obviously they clinched only their third Grand Slam title. They're now ranked second in the world, which you alluded to there. What excites you most then about that team?
Fantastic depth of squad. I mean, Gary Ringrose, who came in and was close to man of the match in the last two games, didn't play in the first three. He'd been out injured. Started with Robbie Henshaw, who's a British-Irish Lion in the 13 jersey. He got injured. Chris Farrell came in. He was man of the match. He dropped out. They started with Josh van der Fleer at seven. He got injured. Dan Levy came in. And I watched the game again this morning to understand where it got away from England. And Dan Levy was superhuman in the number seven jersey. He's reinvigorated players like Kian Healy, who you might have had a small wager a year ago that his international career was over. He's now keeping out Jack McGrath. You wonder whether they could find a second row of the calibre of Maro Itoje. James Ryan, who's still 21 years old, he's played more test matches than he had Pro 14 games, came into the second row and makes most pundits team of the Six Nations. And then out in the back line, they finished, I mean, never mind who they started with, they finished with virtually an entire back line under the age of 23, one of whom was Jacob Stockdale, who was the first man to 7 tries in the Six Nations Championship. Underpinning all that, the leadership of someone like Rory Best and Peter Omani, the control of Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton, and at the top of the pyramid, Joe Smith, who is just finding a way to unpick at the seams of every defence that he comes up against and finds a way to get through it. I mean, the CJ Standard try was just an absolute masterclass. We could rate Hugh Jones's try against England as the individual try of the tournament. But if you want to look at a coach understanding how an opposition might defend, how he might unpick it, and using a tight head prop, Tadhg Furlong, to be the senior playmaker in the midfield, I mean, you absolutely just have to stand back as an England fan and go, well played, Ireland. I compared them to Floyd Mayweather in the way they won this game. Just had England at arm's length, defended where they need to, jab, jab, picked them off, grand slam in the pocket, back to Ireland they go.
OK, just finally and briefly, Will, because we are running out of time, I'm so sorry. England's senior team then, 5th in the Six Nations, but England's women and the other 20s got on better. They both finished 2nd in their competition. So reasons to be positive then, potentially, about the women's game and the future of England?
Across the whole board, the sevens team are going well. The England women, the under-20s, basically 3 under-20s that finished the game. Kildon, Dow, Breach, Nolly Waterman smashing all records. We've got Sarah Byrne, who's becoming a tight head of real international class. So the Red Roses are going great. They were pipped by France. The under-20s were pipped by France. The game they lost, they were ambushed in Scotland like the senior team. Great to see someone like Ben White at scrum half, the youngest player to represent Tigers in the Premier League. Ben Earl on the open side. They had Gabriel Ibitoye on the wing, who in the games I saw was invited on the back of his form into Eddie Jones' squad. Ben Loader, Josh Basham. Some real talent coming through that might get a run out on the South Africa tour. But of course, the main focus this weekend has been the men's disappointing performance. But if you look across the board, what the RFU are doing to develop rugby in the men's, the female, the women's game, and also in junior age groups, England are doing wonderfully well. So we mustn't shed too many tears. In the meantime, we must applaud Ireland. We must lick our wounds. We must come back strong against South Africa. We must keep developing the game. Rugby in England is in rude health. We're having a blip at senior men's level.